It's the Junior Kekuema Junior Show, starring Junior Kekuema Junior.
You have no idea.
Join Junior along with the Wayne Borge Band as he makes any kind from Hawaii.
And we're going to do it again.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, Junior Kekuema Junior.
Yes, sir. How's it, Hawaii? How are you, Hawaii? How are you, Hawaii? Thank you, Hawaiians. Oh, man, Hawaiians. Welcome to the podcast. I'm Junior Kekuema Jr. And this is the podcast that answers the question, Anyway, I don't know why, like, they give me these things to do. Jay's over there looking at me like he's throwing his hands up. Like, what? Like, okay, no, I blew it. That was my fault. The question, the show that asks the question, if get no more, no more, eh? Yeah. You see him? Right there? All right, this is your comedy, Hawaiians. Hey, welcome to the podcast. So on today's podcast, you know, we're going to be discussing the children, okay? The children. All right, no, not the conspiracy. No, not that. Not something a little bit more interesting, okay? The children are coming, okay? And they are not happy. They are not happy, all right? But first, the attitude of gratitude, all right? So the attitude of gratitude, yes, of course, we got to thank everybody. So we have these stats that we get, right? And on the last podcast, we were talking about Hanamaui, and we were acknowledging them. So I have some people to acknowledge, if you would just bear with me for a second, because, see, what we do is we get reports in real time, okay? First of all, we got to say that our Apple podcasts are down to 34.2%, okay? No, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. It was like 80-something percent, which really means that the majority of people used to listen to us on Apple podcasts, okay? But now the pie has kind of spread out, okay? And thanks to our affiliates, we have tons of them. And here's how you can find them, okay? If you really want to, you know, is this real? Like, is this show really all over the... Yeah, all you got to do is just go into any web browser and type in the Junior Kekuema Junior podcast or the Junior Kekuema Junior show, whichever. And you'll see, like, all these affiliates that we have actually... branched out in. So what they do is they pick us up, right? Because they want our content and whatever. And so as a result, there's more people now on web browsers, 36.9%. So these are people that are listening on their desktops, on their laptops, that kind of thing. And then iHeartRadio, okay? I had history with iHeartRadio. I worked there for a brief period of time, and then I contracted with the business office for years. So we Voicemaster Enterprises did business with iHeartMedia for years. And we're up to 21.6%. So the people on iHeart are, like, picking us up more, okay? And you got to know something else, too. One of the reasons is because we do a lot of marketing on iHeartRadio, not the radio station, per se. Because I have my own radio station on iHeart. So go to the iHeart radio app. And if you go to the iHeart radio app and you plug my name in, you'll see all my albums. They'll all pop up. And I have a radio station there. So it's called Junior Kekuema Junior Radio. And just go and... No, I'm not flexing. I'm just saying, okay? Anyway, but the music is a combination of my music and, like, local classics. So people in Hawaii... You know, they love people like Cecilio and Capono. They love people like Israel Kamaka Viva Ole and these people. And that's the kind of music you hear. So, like, good old-fashioned Hawaiian classics and my stuff. Okay. So in the demographics, okay, let's just look at so the top three right now is Texas, California, and Hawaii. Okay. Not in that order. It's California, Texas, and Hawaii. And in Hawaii, I got to give props to local people. And the reason why is because local people in Hawaii, are responsible for me. they're responsible for me. Without them, I would be nothing. Absolutely nothing. All right. So, the people, the Honolulu population is growing. Okay. So, and then there's, let me just mention a few of them. People in Hilo, we want to say aloha to everybody in Hilo. They're picking us up. They're listening to us. Okay. Their numbers are growing. Okay. There's more people listening to us in Hilo than Mililani Town right now. And Mililani Town shows up. So thank you, Mililani. Thank you, Hilo. Eva Beach, Kaneohe, Kilauea. Kilauea on the island of Kauai. So aloha to you guys. We're just going to run down all the local places, okay? Aiea, Waianae, Kapolei, Kailua, Lihui, Lihui, mahalo. So that's on my home island of Kauai. Waipahu, Kauna Kakae, Molokai is listening, right? Hey, thanks, you guys. Okay, Wahiwa, Koloa, Kealakikua on the Big Island of Hawaii, or what we call Hawaii Island. Makawao, Hana is still there on the map. Yeah, way down there. And then rounding out everybody is Pearl City. So thank you, Pearl City. Mahalo. Now, on to the podcast. All right, so in our last podcast, before we get on to the children, right? In our last podcast, we were discussing, you know, different. We were discussing esoteric knowledge and all this kind of stuff, and so I got a couple of questions that I want to answer on today's podcast, right? And one of the questions was, why don't you believe in traditional Christian values? And I'm like, okay, don't get what I said confused with traditional Christian values, okay? And I think that anyway, we had this discussion on Instagram, and these guys, they DM me on Instagram, right? And then we have these little exchanges, these discussions, you know, this kind of thing. I was saying, I made a comment that was in reference to, you know, Jesus Christ, the Roman version, okay? The Roman, so in other words, what I said was I was baptized in the Catholic faith, and you know, I went to church, and then in the Catholic Church, right, they have a crucifix, so they show, you know, the crucifix, so it's Jesus on the cross. Okay, now if you want to get into esoteric knowledge, okay, there's something called astrotheology, and I don't know, you know, if you're familiar, you're familiar. But astrotheology is the study of theology in the stars. Okay, so the Jesus story is written in the stars. Now, I don't know who can change the stars. You know, that's beyond my pay grade. It's above my pay grade, always. Okay, so I don't know who can change the stars, but I can tell you this: that the Jesus story is written in the sky, in the stars. Okay. Now, anyway, what I can tell you. Okay. Now, I'm not saying that this is the real story. I'm not dismissing other religions. I'm not, you know, this is not any kind of speech against anyone or anything. But what I will tell you is there is such a thing as astrotheology. Look it up, okay? And in astrotheology, the Jesus story is there. It's the one truth. And the reason why I say it's the one truth, according to me, okay? This is just my personal game. If you guys want to cancel me, just go ahead, press the button and go listen to Joe Rogan or somebody, right? But the reason I say it's the one truth is because, like I said, who else can rearrange the planets? Only God can do that. Okay, and I believe we have a creator. So I believe in creation. I don't believe in the monkey scenario that we've been presented with. And like I said, certain elements of science are a religion in itself. Okay, but here's the deal, right? What I was talking about, just to be clear, so you guys like, well, you don't believe in Jesus, you know, that kind of thing, right? No, just to be clear, the Jesus that I believe in, okay, it kind of small kind of different, see? So, and it's a long, you know, drawn out thing that you got to research on your own, okay? But the small kind difference is that there is, how can I say this nicely? All roads lead to Rome, okay? Rome. And when you do your research on Rome, and when you do your research on that avenue that leads to Rome, all roads lead to wherever you go. Okay, whatever road you take, you're going to end up in Rome. Okay, and I'm going to leave it at that. But this has, you know, but like I said, when I walked into the church, I felt sorrow, right? Because I looked up and there was Jesus on the cross, right? Okay, the Son of God on the cross, okay? And in the stars, it's the Southern Cross, and it's the sun, right? On the Southern Cross, okay? So, and this is in the stars, okay? But what I will say is that, yeah, it was a low vibe, okay? In my life, and as I, you know, dove into the rabbit holes and stuff like that, I'm just going to say that what you really need is a high vibration. What you really need is to be happy and to celebrate Jesus, the real Jesus, okay? Not the commercial version. And there is a commercial version, and there is a commercial Bible, and there is, you know, such a thing as a 501c3 nonprofit prophets, okay? There are 501c nonprofit prophets, and I'm not gonna, you know, and so the other prophet is spelt the other way. One is financial, one is you know, prophet as in, you know, biblical story prophet. So I'm gonna leave it there. But anyway, but that's what, you know, that's what I was talking about. So please don't I'm not an atheist at all. I'm not, you know, whatever. And nothing, no judgment against atheists either. So, hey, if you guys are atheists, whatever, we still love you. You guys Christians, we love you. You guys are, you know, Islamic, we love you. So, you know, it's not about judgment on my part. It's just that there are different things in society. And, you know, some things are hidden right in front of you and you can't see it. And you can't see it because society keeps you too busy, right? And when you're too busy, you cannot do research. You're too tired to research. The last thing you want to do when you come home from work is research, right? And for most people, I would think, anyway, because I don't consider myself most people, but, you know, most people, like, don't, like, get into research and whatever. A lot of people do. But I'm just saying that the average person, right? We've got 7 billion people in the world. You know, how many of those guys come home and the first thing they want to do is research? You see what I mean? Like my friends, the guys I know, they come home, they want a beer, they want a remote control, and they're watching the game, whatever game is on, right? Because they had a hard day and they want to de-stress, that kind of thing. Anyway, all right. So now we're going to talk about the children, okay? The children are coming. The children are coming, and they're taking over. Okay, the children are taking over. Now, the children, I've you know, and I come from a background of teaching. I've taught children for 35 years this year, and I've taught a lot of them. Okay, and I mentioned on the podcast, the last podcast, that you can't lie to children. They know who you are. They know who you are when they walk into the room, you know? And I had a very interesting comment from this lady a couple of years ago. And she has a very, very talented son. And I work with him, right? I still work with him. And at the time he came to me, he was 11 years old, right? And his mom made this comment to me, right? And she said, you know, It is so unusual for an 11-year-old boy to be gravitated to a teacher and, like, really want to learn from, you know, from you. And he really enjoys his classes with you, this, you know. And I put it to her this way, right? I said, well, I don't treat children like children. I don't look down on them as, you know, Like, okay, adult up here, child down here. No, no. I address children as people. And the reason why is because when I was a kid, right? You know, and you kind of feel that when you're kids. You know, so when I was a kid, it was a different world. It was a different world. Children were to be seen and not heard. Okay? I mean, can you imagine that, right? In this day and age, right? So the children are finally being heard right now, okay? The children are changing the world right now. And I'm not talking about, you know, your children per se in 2024, the kids. I mean, they're not old enough to change the world. I am talking about my grandson's era, okay? I'm talking about those guys. Okay, so my grandson right now is, I think he's about 17, 18. And you know, I don't really disclose too much information about my personal life because it's really personal. And my professional life is all over the world. So, but I will tell you this, okay? The kids in my grandson's age category, in his demographics, I've taught those kids forever. I've taught those kids and kids a little bit older than my grandson. Okay, so I've worked on two generations of children. And I can tell you one thing. They are not happy. They are not happy with the state of things in the world. And they have always seen through all of this stuff. Okay? And this is something for us to think about. Like, this is, you know, and this is I'm tying this into life coaching, okay? So give me a second here. But this is a concern. And this is something problematic for older people. Because a lot of older people are stuck in the old paradigm. Okay? Now, if you want to change your paradigm, okay, here comes the life coaching part, get ready. Okay, grab your pens and your notepad. Take some notes, Owens. If you want to change your paradigm, okay, you have to work at it. It takes work. Okay, so what am I talking about? Paradigm. Oh, what is it? What is that, Junior? Paradigm. What is that? It's like two dimes. No. Paradigm. No. Here's what it is, right? So your understanding of things, the way you understand things, the way you look at things, your perception and your behaviors and the patterns of your behaviors based upon what you believe. Okay, first of all, you got to ask yourself, what do I believe? Sit down and think about it. Now, I'll tell you this much. You are so intelligent, okay, as a human being, that if you ask your brain a question, it has to answer. And if you sit there with, you know, and get a pencil and paper, whatever, pen, pad, whatever, and write questions down. What do I really believe? Okay, write it down. And then when you get the thought, write down that thought, write down the answer. I believe that, you know, whatever it is, whatever you believe hot dogs taste good, write it down. Okay, write it down. And then when you get the next thought, you know, what do I really believe? Right? And then write the next thought and the next thought. And pretty soon, here's what's going to happen. You are just going to be downloading, okay, thoughts, intuitive thought. And it's going to come out on your notepad, okay? It's going to come out because it's your thoughts and you need to write it down. And pretty soon, in the beginning of this gibberish, in the beginning it doesn't make sense. But as you start to write, as you get into write, okay, you're going to start writing automatically. And what I'm talking about is every thought that comes to your mind, you write. Okay, instead of just thinking it and letting it go, write it down. Okay, write it down. When you do that, you're going to see this pattern form. And then it's going to make sense. And then it's going to be like writing a book. And then when you get to the point where you're tired and you put your pen down, go back and read what you wrote. You will be amazed. You will be amazed, okay? But here's the thing, right? Your paradigm needs to change to accommodate the change in the world, okay? In other words, if you're not changing with the world, and I don't mean to accept new crazy ideas, Okay, that other, there's a lot of crazy ideas out there. There's a lot of crazy ideas out there that people are proposing, okay? And I'm not going to touch on any of them, but they're crazy. A lot of them are crazy ideas, okay? But the productive ideas, okay? And this is where discernment comes in, right? But the productive ideas, you need to entertain, okay? You know, a certain amount of conservation, right? Like there's only so much resources that let's put it this way. There's only so many resources that are being made available to us. Let me put it that way. Okay? Now the planet has unlimited resources. Okay? That's not the problem. The problem is not, you know, do we have enough resources? The problem is there's gatekeepers that you know, have control over resources. And this started a long, long time ago, okay? I can go back to the British Empire. I can take you all the way back. And that's not a podcast, okay? But the control of resources, that was one of the first things that they locked down. Resources, okay? And land, real estate, all of that. Everything is done by contract. Everything is a legal transaction. Okay? So, entertain that idea, right? And now we're in 2024. And you saw what happened in 2020. And in the last podcast, I was, you know, talking about the fact that, you know, when I told my uncle, years ago, I told my, because I got to the point where I was like, what am I studying all of this for? What did I study all of this stuff for? What did I go through all this conspiracy stuff for? What did I go through all this, you know, like all this information for, right? It's not going to amount to anything in my lifetime. And when I told my uncle, I said, this is never going to happen. Nothing ever, none of this is ever going to happen in my lifetime. And without missing a beat, he goes, oh no, you watch. And sure enough, in 2020, boom. Everything exploded, okay? And I don't mean, you know, explode like explosion. I mean, everything came out. Everything started to be revealed. And here's the thing, right? You want to talk about revelation? You want to talk about revealing, okay? Things are being revealed, okay? And they're being revealed through the children. The children are in control, okay, of a lot of resources, a lot of stuff, okay? Now, they control a lot of, I want to say, progressive ideas. Okay, some of them are crazy. Some of them are not. Remember when we had crazy ideas? Okay, and when I say we, I mean like, you know, I'm talking about boomers because I'm a boomer, right? So if you're a boomer and you're listening to me, there's a few of you. Okay, the majority of my listeners are like 35 to 54. Okay, so you millennials. Okay. You remember when you had crazy ideas? Remember? Okay. So when you had those crazy ideas I don't mean that those were actual crazy ideas. I meant that your parents told you that was crazy. Well, what? That's crazy. I remember when my grandfather used to tell me that what I was thinking was crazy. You know, the ideas that I had was crazy, right? But you see, the only thing now, when I look back and there's a record of everything I've done online. There's a record of all of my companies. There's a record of all of my entertainment, ventures or whatever I participated, whatever I did, right? They're there. Okay. There's the Junior Kickweva Junior Roadshow. And I'm not flexing. I'm just saying that there's a digital record of everything I've done online. Okay. I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not saying that to flex. I'm saying it to say that when I was a kid, that's what I was talking about. I was talking about that when I was a kid. I was like, one day I'm going to perform in Waikiki. One day I'm going to do, you know, one day I'm going to be a singer. One day I'm going to play the guitar. One day I'm going to, you know, do that, right? Like I was doing this when I was like 12 years old. I didn't start playing the guitar until I was 14. I didn't start. And you know what? It was because of this one guy who took the time because helping kids, right? Like the older brothers that knew how to play, right? Those guys, like helping the children, the kids, me, in that, right? In that instance, right? And this guy was 16. He was older than me. He was a couple years older than me. And he was hanging with the cool guys. And it just was not cool to like show me stuff, right? But he felt sorry for me. I knew he felt sorry for me. And he knew I was seeking. Okay? And what does the Bible say? Right? Because I don't know a lot of holy books. But it does say, you know, in other books, the Bhagavad Gita, for example, seek and ye shall find. Right? And he knew I was seeking, right? And he had the knowledge. And you know what? He took the time to sit down and go, okay, look, here, this chord, like this. All right, now get out of here. You know, that kind of thing, right? And that's how I learned. And then I had to go and watch the other older brothers. So as much as I could, right, the older brothers, the uncles, you know, like I as much as I could, I would sit and hang out when people were playing music just to look. We didn't have YouTube. It was pretty harsh. It was pretty harsh because if you didn't get that opportunity to hang out, and a lot of the older guys wouldn't let you hang out, okay? But my point is, when I look back on my life now, and I look back at all the digital records, you know, I go, you know, plug my name into Google, and I look at all that stuff, and I go, man, you were thinking about that when you were 12. Those are all your 11-year-old dreams, okay? But here's the thing, right? When you start, I want to say, suppressing people, okay, especially children, because I was, you know, I was the kid that everybody told me, oh, yeah, your imagination get carried away with you. Your imagination is, you know, that kind of thing, right? And so it wasn't just my grandfather. It wasn't just, you know, it was the adults around me. Okay, and it made me very frustrated. I remember being very frustrated. You know, oh, your imagination is just getting carried away with you again. You know, that kind of thing, right? You're like, and my friends, right, because of their conditioning, were telling me, oh, bro, that's nuts, bro. that's crazy. you know? And now when I look back, I plug my name in once in a while, and I look back and I cannot understand sometimes how I have done so much, like, and so many different things, the volume of work that I've done and like how many things. And like I said, it's not a flex. Anybody can do this. Anybody can do this. But here's the trick, right? And this is why the children are not happy, okay? Because the children are being dismissed in a lot of ways, okay, by their elders. Okay, not just their parents. I'm not talking. This is not a parent-child thing, right? This is a generational thing, and this generational stuff is slowly coming to an end. It's slowly. And here's the first indication of when I started to feel like, yeah, this is great. When I saw kids that would show up with tablets, right, and they would sit in my office. Because I had a waiting room. So my office served all of our companies. My office served, you know, my different companies, which really was just like file cabinets with files of every company inside. That's what it was. And so every company had, you know, we had files for everything because there was paperwork to be done. And if nothing, you know, it wasn't all digital like it is now. But everything, you know, so there's oh, gosh, files upon files. So I had a girl, I had an office manager. And her job was to file everything, you know, and I would just throw things on the in tray and she would file everything. So I went through a lot of office managers and I had to hire people and I had to, you know, get these things done because this was my imagination playing out in the world. Okay. So, and then I made some fundamental mistakes. There were some people that I trusted that I shouldn't have trusted. There are people that, you know, that I did trust, that I was happy I did. That, I mean, so learning experiences, good, bad, and different, whatever. But what I'm getting at is that when I started seeing kids showing up with tablets, right, and I would have conversations with them in their lessons, and I would ask them questions. And the answers that they gave me over the years, just, and the conversation, you know, like I had this one girl that I called the little adult, because when she came to me, she was 8 years old and focused, laser focused. This girl was focused and proper, and like her English was flawless. I was like, whoa. Like, I mean, you know, you could not have designed a better 8-year-old girl. I mean, she was just, so the joke was with her mom, she's the little adult, you know, and she was just like an adult, and she was smart. I mean, sharp as a tack. Okay. But the conversations over the years became expanded. And pretty soon, right, and this is over my teaching journey now. You're talking 35 years of evolution in that, right? And so my teaching started to evolve to accommodate the children, because the children were now more advanced. Therefore, I could do more with the children. And it got to the point where the kids were evolving into these, like, I just want to say phenoms, okay? A lot of these kids were just phenoms. And the moms would bring them in. See, this is another thing, okay? Moms bring their kids in, okay? Dads rarely bring their kids, rarely, okay? And you know what's really that I thought was unfortunate? And this is my own opinion, okay? There's this one dad, and no names or anything like that. In fact, I forgot his name. I put him out of my head. He wasn't worth my time. But he would not bring his talented daughter, who was, I think, 5 years old. He would not bring her on his week because they were divorced. He would not bring her to lessons. So I had to schedule her every other week. And this girl was gifted. She was gifted. Okay. You know what that's going to result into? Okay. And she's probably, I want to say she's probably out of high school right now. Okay. That's going to result in daddy issues. You know, daddy was never there. And you know what happens with that, Owens? That's not a podcast. Daddy issues is not a podcast. But I'm telling you, the children are not happy, okay? And when children are not happy, okay, it's going to come back to you. It's going to come back, okay? And you know, but it doesn't just come back to you. It comes back to society, okay? Because when a girl grows up with daddy issues, guess who's the lucky recipient, right? Right. So it's like if you're just unlucky enough to meet a girl with daddy issues and you're not savvy and you don't know, you're gonna learn. I'm just gonna leave it there, okay? But I'm telling you, right? The children today are what the ones with the power. And what we can do, the best thing we can do, is to empower the kids, okay? Because you know what? If you're in your 50s, if you're in your 60s, if you're, if you're anywhere older than 40, okay, and you haven't reached a level of what you can call success in your life, and I don't mean money, I don't mean material possessions. I just mean, if you can look back and go, yeah, you know what? Those were my dreams. I stuck to my dreams there. That was all my dreams. When I look back, okay, and I'm not, like I said, I'm not flexing because you can do this too, okay? But when you look back, go look in your photo albums. If you don't have to be online, you don't have to be part of this. You don't have to be part of the digital world, but go look in your photo albums. Go look at the things you've done. Go look at your scrapbooks. Go look at your achievement. What did you achieve? And ask yourself, was that in my head when I was a little kid? Because chances are it was. Because you manifest your world. You do manifest your world. God is real. And God will just go, okay, well, what you want to be a graphic designer? Okay, right here. Go down this road over here. Hey, well, what? You want to be interior decorator? Okay, down this road over here. What? You want to be a mechanic? Oh, right there. Go trade school right there. That's the trade school down there. Go that way. You see, so we all gravitate according to our interests, but we also gravitate according to, you know, whatever it is that we were put on the planet to do. And a lot of this stuff is generational, And part of the reason that children are not happy is when they have things that they want to do. And this was expressed to me over the years in many ways from children. Okay. And you know, it's like, so they tell me, well, I want to do this, but, you know, this, I want to do this, but whenever there's a but, okay, whenever there's a but in a sentence, I want to do this, but, you know, that kind of thing, right? Okay, that eventually turns into regret. That eventually turns into, you know, because that's not the original thought. That's not the original dream, okay? So what happens, like, to balance all of this out? Well, eventually it's going to gravitate back, okay? Because I tried to run from teaching. I tried to run, and I ran. I mean, I didn't want to have it. You know, I didn't, it wasn't like I didn't want to teach. You know, I did teach because, you know, I could. And it was something that I could offer. So it was something that I started. I offered one girl first to help because I really liked that girl because she was so cool and she was so talented. And if it's one thing that I recognize in other people, you know, the word namaste means the divinity in me recognizes the divinity in you, right? And, you know, like attracts like, okay? Like not only attracts like, it impresses like. Like impresses like. So you know, if you have some talent in you and you see somebody else with talent, your natural inclination, if you're a teacher, okay? If you're a teacher, your natural inclination is like, okay, I want to pour this into that kid. I want to give this kid this, you know? And a lot of the parents, you know, and this can be misconstrued because sometimes, right, sometimes you give the impression that you don't know your value. And it's no. It's not about I don't know my value. No, I'm teaching your kid. I'm giving your kid 10 times the value because of their talent level. I'm giving your kid extra time and free sessions here and there because they need to be fed. They need to be fed, and apparently nobody's feeding them and they're hungry. Okay. So the guy I used to work with, Brother Wayne, right? We used to have this expression and we used to say, you gotta stay hungry. Okay, now this was, you know, normally when you hear that in the old school, you think, you know, you got to stay hungry as in business or sales or whatever, you know, that kind of thing. But we would not practice on purpose with our music. Like sometimes we would practice, right? And we would go through like, I don't know, like weeks, like boom, 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 every day, right? And then we'd put down the instruments. And his favorite thing was listening to classical music, because he was a classical pianist, classically trained. And my thing was, you know, I had other things to do. I was out dating girls and having fun and, you know, whatever. I was doing my stuff. I was doing me. He was doing him. And you know, we lived together with this other girl. And we were all, you know, roommates and girlfriends came and went and whatever. And so, but I was doing me, right? And he was doing him. And our roommate was doing her, and, you know, and it was a live and let live kind of situation. It was like, well, you know, whatever. And but the reason I'm mentioning this is because our favorite expression was, well, we did real good at the show tonight because we were hungry. Okay, so that talent, that energy. Okay, everything is energy, energetics. Okay, if you can wrap your mind around that. Everything is energy. That energy within you that wants to dance, that energy within you that wants to sing, that energy within you that wants to be the lawyer, be the doctor, be the healer, be the empath, be the whatever it is, right? That energy in you was handed down. And it comes through the generation, it comes through the gene pool. You know, and on the previous podcast, we talked about horses. Right? That I learned from the first thing I learned about horses that I did not know anything. Like horses, the only thing I knew about horses is that I like to ride them. That's how I love horses, right? Like to me, they were big dogs. You know, my trainer told me, no, don't think like that. Cause I used to hug my horse. He goes, don't hug your horse. And I'm my horse. I didn't say that to him because I was respectful, you know, because he was like my sensei. And he said, you don't want to do that. He said, you don't even want to be standing in front of your horse. He said, if something spooks in the bushes and that horse runs, he's going to run right over you. She's going to run right over you, you know, that kind of thing. And I didn't know. I was like, wow, you know, it was the only horse that I ever owned. It was a dream. And it was exactly the same horse in my head that I was dreaming of when I was on the ranch at 12 years old, you know, and my classmate, it was his parents' ranch. And my classmate had a horse that looked just like mine. It was a little bit more reddish color, right? It was reddish brown and the name was Firecracker. And it was named Firecracker for two reasons, because it was red and that horse was hot. That horse was a champion. That horse was the best, right? And in my mind, that's what I wanted. I wanted, you know, and what made me want it more, I think, was that nobody was allowed to ride Firecracker. Nobody, right? And Danny, if you're listening out there somewhere in the cosmos, or somebody goes, hey, Danny, you know, Junior talking about you, and they send you the podcast, right? Just know that I thought your horse was the most awesome horse in the world. And I had one just as awesome, small kind different, right? But just as awesome. And she was a multi-champion. Like, you know, but it took a lot of things to come together, right? And God will put the things together in your life. Okay, but you got to understand that everything is energy. God is energy. Okay, God is energy. That energy that you have in you, that I have in me, that tells us to do these different things, that because we have these different desires, because we have these different goals, we have these different wants, these different things that we enjoy, right? Because not everybody's the same, right? We're all individuals. That energy is what is up there in the superconscious, the downloads that you get. Okay, downloads, ideas, inspirational thought, that's what I'm talking about. Okay, all of that, right? So getting back to the children, right, and them not being happy. Okay, if you look at the kids that I taught who are now parents and they have kids, okay, because I'm on my third generation right now of teaching. So I have taught that, so right now there are people with grandchildren that came to me as students. Okay, so I'm on my third generation. And if I'm lucky, I get to go four generations. Okay, I don't know how I think I'm lucky just to be here right now with all I've been through. But I'm just saying, right? The kids that are, let's say, in college right now. The kids that are out of college 10 years, a lot of them are not happy, okay? And they're not happy because of the generational dysfunction that's been pushed down generation to generation, you know? So the generational thing, right? You know, oh, children are to be seen and not heard. Okay, so that's what I'm going to teach my kid. And when that kid grows up, what does he know? That's all he knows. So he teaches it to his kids. And it goes down the gene pool, but it's not just that. Okay. It's like the horse that you train, that you train the horse so well, right? And then when the horse has babies, it's in the babies already. Automatic. It's genetic. It's there. So everything you learn, when it shows up in your kids, when it shows up in your grandchildren, right? You know why. It's genetic. And it happens that way because all cells have memory. Okay, now, getting back to changing your paradigm, okay? How do you change this? How do you make a generational difference? Well, you know what? You have to really change the way you handle things in the next generation. You know, I can tell you, you know, I don't talk about my son very much. It's neither here nor there. It's not an issue. It's not an issue to me. But here's the thing, right? When my son was born, because of the things that I had to go through when I was a kid, right? Which was not, and I gotta say, which was not exclusively at the hands of my parents, okay? It was other, you know, there were other things that happened. as well. But I made up my mind that when I have a kid one day, and I made up my mind when I was, you know, when I was thinking about these things, I was a teenager. I was in love with this one girl. I said, well, I'm going to marry that girl. We're going to have five kids. I was thinking crazy. You know, I was looking at my auntie them, you know, I was looking at their families and I was going, wow, yeah, it would be nice to have a big family. I was an only child, right? So I thought, hey, it would be nice to be a family man, okay? And I started out in life with that attitude, right? And when my son was born, I promised myself I would never hit that boy. I would never, you know, not angrily anyway, right? And I spanked him one time. And the only time, because he took money out of a purse, and I did not want him to ever do that again. And he got a couple of whacks with a slipper, and that was it. Nothing abusive. Because I swore that I would never, ever, ever hit my kids. Ever. Okay, now, do I believe that not hitting your kids is a good thing? Yeah, I think I've changed my mind. I think I've changed my mind on that, Hawaiians, okay? But that's one thing I can tell you, that, you know, there's my son and I, as far as the relationship goes, right? We don't talk. He does his life, I do mine. We're good. There's no hatred. You know, at least I don't think so. I don't know. I love my son enough to let him go. I love him enough to leave him alone. You know, I love him enough to, like, hey, what a, you know, he comes to talk to me once in a while. We talk. You know, he goes. He comes around. Okay, he, you know, whatever. But there's this underlying respecting. That he has never, you know, I think he realizes that he was never, you know, I want to say hit or spanked or whatever by me, you know, he maybe probably got it from his mom. I don't know, whatever. I don't know. But I'm just saying that there's this underlying respect kind of thing where we have never been directly abusive to each other. There's been things said. Everybody does that, right? But I had to stop that. I had to put a stop to that. And so I made up my mind, right? So when my son came along, I did not want to pass on that generational dysfunction or that part of it anyway, right? There's no way. I don't think there's any way human beings can stop being dysfunctional in every way. So yeah, there's other things. But I'm just saying. But that was an example. That's an example. But the children that are, you know, fighting for human rights now, right? We were doing the same thing when we were kids because we saw what we thought were injustices and we could see through things and children see through things. And the children today are not happy. But these children have been raised on tablets. These children have technology. These children understand how to do things. These children are organized and equipped, and these children are going to make moves, okay, that are going to benefit the world. And yes, some of those decisions are not going to be good ones. Some of those decisions are going to be crazy, okay? But for the betterment of society, as far as I can tell, And the reason, and I'm basing this on the conversations I've had with children for 35 years and how these conversations, you know, got more and more advanced, okay? And the things that I've seen, I can tell you that these kids are going to change the world. And the best thing you can do, is If you have a child right now, if you're planning a family right now, okay, the best thing you can do is empower their good desires, okay. So like, if a kid is talented, you know, I just sent an email to one of my clients' parents, and I said, you know, he really needs a nylon string guitar, and I'd be willing to teach him everything, you know. And I don't, he's not my guitar student. He's my guitar student now, but he started off as my voice student. And I saw that talent and I threw it out there to him, like over, I think the course of about almost a year. And I said, hey, when you're ready, Uncle could teach you guitar if you want, because I want to add that value, right? Because I see, like, wow, this kid takes the instrument. There was this girl. It did, you know, and I think it's so cool when girls do guy stuff. Like, I don't know, it's just me. And I love to empower people. And there was this girl that was really, really talented, and she was inclined towards instruments. I taught her how to play guitar. I taught her how to play bass. Like, and I spent, and all my time with her was free for the instruments. You know, her mom paid me to for her to take voice. And I ended up teaching her instruments. No charge. No charge. Am I a saint? No, no, no. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying this to flex. I'm saying this because there's two things you can do for your children. There's two things you can do for your grandchildren. There's two things you can do for any child. Number one, feed their interest. Okay, feed their interest. They want to play music? Okay, go ahead. What do you want to play? Guitar? All right, here's a guitar. If you can't afford a guitar, go. I don't know. Go to Goodwill, whatever. Go find something. Find something and give it to them and empower them. Number two, get out of their way. Okay, don't get in their way. Empower them and leave them be. Okay, and I don't mean. This in the way of lack of discipline. I don't mean it in the lack of structure. I don't mean it that way. I mean the best thing you can do, especially, you see all the protests going on around the world right now? All these protests and these kids protesting this, that, and the other thing and all of that. Okay. So a lot of it is going to result in good stuff. And some of it is not, you know? And who are we to say that are at towards the end of our road rather than at the beginning of our road? Who's to say what's better or what's not? Yeah, I see a lot of stuff I don't agree with. But you know what? When they're children, when they are young, when they are developing, okay, when they're in elementary school, okay, if they start gravitating to ballet, put them in ballet class. Find a way. You know what one lady did? And I taught her daughter guitar and voice, and she is amazing. This girl is amazing. And the way that I got to train her, and she has never paid for a lesson, ever. And I taught her for 2 years. And she's coming back this summer. In a couple of months, I'll be teaching her again. Absolutely free. Okay. And the reason why is because her mom, I don't know, you know, wrote to me on my website asking me if I had scholarships, if I give scholarships to talented kids. And you know, it's like, I have a talented daughter, whatever. But I'm like, really? Come on, bring it down. And so, you know, I did a little audition thing. You know, I was going to help her anyway, right? But yeah, I did a little audition thing, right? So, okay, all right. Show Uncle what you got. She sang for me, right? And when she sang, it was like she was doing American Idol or something. Like, she took it so serious, right? And she was so cute. And I'm like, I gotta help this girl, you know? And so anyway, and the rest, as they say, is history. But yeah, you know, the family thing didn't work out for me in this life, okay? The family thing, it just did not pan out. And everything happens for a reason. But as a result, right, there are thousands of children that I've helped. There are thousands of children that I've developed. There are thousands of children that I've empowered. And I can tell you, right, you gotta start making the kids a little happier. Okay, because when the children are not happy, it's going to come back to you. It's really going to come back to you. Okay? Maybe not now. Maybe not when you're 40. Maybe not when you're 50. Maybe not when you're 60. Okay? You see where I'm going? Okay, Hawaiians. But empower them. Because the first thing that a child will remember, okay, like I remember, you know, with my mom, with my dad, right? My dad loved me, right? My dad gave me everything, right? I wanted a fire truck. I'm like, Daddy, I want a fire truck. Boom, fire truck showed up, right? You know, I was so spoiled. I was the only kid. I was spoiled, right? My mom, you know, best clothes, best bike, best shoes, best this, best that, right? You know, and I never forgot that. You know, do you think I disrespect my mom? Or just, you know, my dad passed away. But you think I go around disrespecting my mom? No, I'm grateful. I'm grateful because I had the best this, the best that, the best whatever. I was an only child. It wasn't hard to do. If you got five kids, yeah, you cannot give everybody, you know, a $250 bike or whatever. But whatever. You see what I'm saying? But empower the kids, number one. Okay, number one. Feed their interest. Number one. Number two, get the heck out of their way, Hawaiians. Because I tell you, there's nothing worse than, there's nothing worse than standing in the way of potential success. And you know, and I've been through this stuff. And I can tell you that once you get into that, you know, get into that mode where you're kind of like... controlling whatever. I mean, you know, that kind of thing, right? And you're kind of, all right, you can do this, but you can't do that. Or, okay, you can play guitar, but you can't, you know, that kind of thing. Oh, sorry. Oh, I gotta go. Hey, want to thank Brother Andy and Sister Jerry of Island Club and Spa. Our sponsors over there. So, go down to Island Club and Spa and fill out the form and join the club, and I'll see you there. Yeah. Also, big mahalo to AFMHawaiiMusic.com and the Voice Master family of service companies. Check out Darren Chinen's music on AFMHawaiiMusic.com. It's good music. Just download them. Support local artists of every kind, all right? Till next time, I'm Junior saying mahalo. And Allah!